I just hope Charm's hanging in there, I said.
Breaker, come on.
Twitch scoffed, shaking her head.
When you found her in that prison, she was doing just fine, wasn't she? Running around on her own, even when she was being hunted by Metallica.
Oh, please, don't remind me about her, I said with a groan.
Wait, did I miss something?
Gale asked. Twitch leaned over and whispered something, earning a reproachful glare from me.
No,
Gale said, glancing at me. Then, as Twitch added more, her eyes narrowed.
By Oram, tell me you're joking.
Thanks, Twitch, I said, rolling my eyes. I was trying to get the power that I thought we needed. That we did need, I should remind you.
Just cut the bitch next time,
Gale said with a scrunched nose.
Don't stick it in her pooper.
Ugh, don't word it like that, I said.
You try to stick it in my pooper, I'll punch you right in the throat.
Not into that, then? She shook her head, making a disgusting face.
Not a chance. No way. Uh-uh. You never tried it?
Twitch asked, her eyes lighting up with curiosity.
No. Never?
Twitch grinned.
Oh, I should mention, I'm pretty damn talented at telling when someone's lying. What?
Gale glanced over, her cheeks flushing, and she shrugged.
Fuck, whatever. Okay, once. But only because the guy had a tiny dick. I saw the thing, knew it wouldn't do a damn thing in my vagina, and he had hinted at loving to do it from behind, so I told him he could. Still hurt like hell, and I vowed never to do it again. You try to stick that tube of cookie dough dick in my ass, I swear to Oram.
Relax, I said, hands up. I'm not planning on going anywhere near your ass. Damn, getting all worked up over nothing. She took a breath and said,
good. Yeah, good. Just making sure.
Twitch, however, winked at me and seemed to be sticking out her ass even more as she walked. Was that some sort of invitation? Honestly, I wasn't into it all that much anyway. Give me a mouth or pussy any day of the week. Even a hand really was preferable in my book. But if the lady wanted it, I would do as the lady desired. Our only other obstacle before seeing the walls on the edge of a ridge was a river of murky water. We passed it easily enough, and were soon climbing up the edge of an incline, helping each other up to where the ground gave way above. At the top, we knelt at the side of a trench just on this side of a waist-high wall of mud and bricks. On the other side, men and women went about their daily activities of washing clothes in buckets, making bread, and butchering one of those animals that looked like a pig. Now that I was close enough to see one, the analogy didn't feel right. The head was like a chicken without the feathers. At first glance, everything looked like a normal village. Then Twitch pointed to a rifle leaning up against a wash basin. After that, I noticed them everywhere. A man walked out of a building holding one over his shoulder, glanced around, then walked over to one of the other nearby buildings and paused before continuing to walk along the perimeter. At least we know they have something worth guarding, I said.
So, disguises again?
Gale asked.
Those worked so well last time.
Sarcasm doesn't fit you, I countered. And that wasn't my fault.
Pick three,
Twitch told me.
We'll work our way over to the next section, then enter as those three.
I agreed and focused on one at a time, remembering that I had to keep the images of them fairly clear in my mind, as people might know them. If I made a nose too big or forgot a mole, they might notice it. When we were all looking like our counterparts, we crouch ran over to the far side of the village and then casually strolled right in like we belonged.
Look for information on where this Windlore guy might be,
Twitch whispered in a hushed voice.
It won't be one of these huts, but somewhere special, maybe at the center of these villages.
We kept moving, passing a couple who stared at us oddly, then a man who chuckled at us, just shaking his head. Others didn't pay us any mind, but something was starting to feel off.
Did you make an illusion of big boogers coming out of my nose or something?
Gale asked.
What's up with the weird looks and laughter?
Your guess is as good as mine, I replied. We passed the first row of buildings and came to a point where we could see a field of large, curving boulders rising into the air, not giving us very much visibility. The land rose up, with other villages dotted along the sides, spreading out as if forming a line. A light rain started to fall, the first since we'd arrived, and I noted with curiosity the way it hit the ground and formed little balls of water before sinking in.
"Janine,"
a woman said, and we turned to see that she was eyeing Gale, then the two of us. She didn't look so different from Gale's illusion, aside from her hair being redder and her lips being thinner.
"I thought you all weren't speaking."
"Hmm?"
Gale grunted, doing her best, considering her voice might give her away.
"Well, ever since this slut slept with this man-whore."
The woman glared at me, then held up her thumbs in a way that was clearly meant to be an insult similar to flipping someone the middle finger. It made me laugh, which caused her nostrils to flare and eyes to go wide. Before she could say another word, though, both women took an arm, and I shrugged.
"That's how it is now."
She shook her head.
"You're all disgusting. Shit. Should have known."
She stormed off, hesitated with a glance back, and then continued around the corner of the building behind us.
"I think she was considering asking if she could join us,"
Gale whispered, and I had to put a hand over my mouth to keep from laughing again. Twitch reminded us to keep moving, so we did. It was working. We were in the clear. That is, until we turned the next corner and the man whose persona I'd taken on stood in front of us, mouth dropping. Gale acted fast, clocking him upside the head with her pistol, but that only made him fall back with a shout.
What the fuck?
He said, holding his now bleeding head and staring up at us.
Help!
Another guard appeared around the corner a moment later. Upon seeing the situation, he shouted for us to stop and unslung his rifle.
Shit,
Gale muttered, thrusting out her hand so that her strange wind power threw him off balance and he dropped the rifle. Before he could recover, we were off, making our way in between buildings. We worked around toward the villages further up the hill as shouts came from behind. One of them was telling the others what he'd seen. Luckily for us, it sounded like they weren't totally buying it. Still, some soon gave chase, and when they caught a view of us, gunshots went off and tore into the wall only feet away.
This whole illusion thing,
Gale said with a frown as she paused to catch her breath.
I'd hate to say I told you so.
Shut up, I replied, pulling us through the entrance of the closest building. We ignored the woman's wide eyes as she shot up from a bath and clutched her arms to her chest, then the strange pig chicken that ran at us. The back door slammed in the creature's face, and we saw one of the men looking at us, glancing back and then disappearing. Not sure what that was about. We pushed through to the next building, trying to weave our way through to avoid leaving ourselves out in the open for target practice. A group of men appeared from our right, pointing and coming at us. How they'd gotten there didn't make sense, until I considered that they likely had some means of communication or an alarm system. We darted to our left, and I abandoned our current illusions in favor of a wall behind us. That stumped them long enough for us to run into the next building over, climb out a window, and sprint towards another one of the villages. The rocks gave us cover, mostly, but I saw that man again, the one who had watched us just now but not tried to attack. It was brief, not enough to see what he looked like, and then he was gone. We made it, entered a room that had a town hall feel to it, and then closed the door to catch our breaths.
They on to us?
Twitch asked, checking one of the windows with her head at the corner to keep a low profile. I checked another, but didn't see anything yet. The shouting wasn't super close at that point, so I reclined, had some water from the tube in my suit, and then checked my blaster pistol in case we'd need it. I prefer it to not take lives if possible, but I wasn't sure how much longer that could last. A woman started shouting, and I peeked out to see her in the midst of the field of rocks, pointing our way. Shit, I said. Someone spotted us on the way over, apparently.
When this is all over,
Gale said,
I'm voting for a nice long vacation. Maybe a beach somewhere. A place we can just sit back, drink flowery cocktails.
Count me in, I said, checking the window again.
Of course you'll be there. I'll need someone to blow when I get bored.
I frowned, loving the image but not needing the distraction right now.
Real classy,
Twitch said with a grin. Gale shrugged.
I say what's on my mind. Nothing to be ashamed of enjoying going down on our man. I know I'll get mine.
Seriously, not the time, I said, seeing movement past the rocks. They were coming. But, yes, of course you will. A thud came from the rear of the building, and we all turned, ready for trouble. My heart was thudding, my hand tight on the pistol.
Psst,
a voice said, and we spun back to see a man motioning us through the side door. He wore a military jacket over regular clothes with a long beard, giving him the look of a warlord. It was possible he was the one I'd noticed watching us. We had no reason to trust him, but knew the others would be upon us soon, so chose to see what he was up to. He motioned for us to hurry, checked the door, and then led us a few houses down. When he went through the door, I hesitated, thinking it could be a trap, but Gale pulled me through. He took us to the back room, past colored rugs hanging on the walls and old vases of clay. It was nice, in good shape, but for a large crack running up one wall. The room was simple, but he lifted up a rug to reveal a trap door under the table. He quickly opened it and entered, gesturing for us to follow.
We're not following a strange man into a tunnel in the ground,
Twitch said, backing up.
I'm not what you think I am,
the warlord said.
What are you?
Twitch asked.
A friend. Now come, quickly.
I went to the window and saw that more men with guns had joined the other group and were incoming. We didn't have much choice unless we wanted to take our last stand. We might win, and probably would based on our history so far, but that also meant killing these people, who were clearly on the lower rung of all this, and maybe didn't know what they were fighting for.
Go,
I said, and Twitch nodded, the first to follow the warlord into the tunnel. Gale went next, with me taking up the rear, pistol drawn and ready to cover our backs. As we snuck along, I could tell that Twitch and the warlord were talking in a whisper, but couldn't tell what about. Mostly I was concerned with being followed. A realization hit me, and I cursed.
What?
Gale hissed.
Ah, the trap door, I left it open.
I turned back to make a run for it, but she grabbed me by the shoulder.
Too late now.
I hesitated, realizing she was right, and pushed on. It wasn't much longer before we heard voices calling from behind us. Light appeared ahead, and I saw that the warlord had a way open. Twitch was already out. Gale followed, and I pushed myself up and into an area hidden behind tall rocks. The shouting was louder, but the warlord waved it off.
I'll wrap around back and go down a different way. Pretend I was with the group the whole time.
He pointed a direction around the rocks and said,
Save him. Please.
Twitch held up a hand to me, showing she'd explain later, and said,
We'll do our best. The Citadel appreciates your continued service.
He nodded, then took off at a run into an area covered with tall, curving rocks behind us.
He thinks we're with the Citadel? I asked.
We kind of are,
Twitch replied, pointing at me.
At least, you will be soon enough. Come on.
We made our way up in the direction he'd told us, and then we froze, our breaths catching. A large pyramid was before us, but it wasn't the size that made an impression. It was the strange look. In pictures, I'd seen pyramids that were all stone, but this one appeared to be made of a substance similar to jade, with lines of gold and glowing circuitry moving along it like veins. The sunlight shone on it, and even though it was solid, I could almost imagine myself touching its surface and sinking right in.
They have him in there? I asked. What is it?
Shimmer mentioned that they were likely holding Windlore captive in some sort of prison,
Twitch said.
This must be it. Lucky for us, we are now experts at breaking out of those.
With that lovely thought of having to break out of another prison-like situation, we ran for the pyramid, knowing it was our best bet.
Chapter 8. Standing at the base of the pyramid made its size even more intimidating. Twitch cursed at the fact that she didn't have working powers here, as she would have loved to be able to analyze it, see how the thing worked. Maybe after we've brought the planet back, I said, trying to be helpful. Then your powers will work?
If,
she pointed out.
We could fail at all this and I'd die, never knowing.
If we fail and you die, we probably all die. And then the universe will have much bigger problems than you not knowing how something works.
Right, sure.
She pouted as we worked our way around, examining the structure. I tried moving blocks, looking for patterns, and even going around the edges on the ground to see if there were any disturbances from the blocks having been moved lately. Nothing. Twitch tried looking at her screens, but swiped them away in frustration, instead joining me. We climbed up, carefully peering over the top of it while staying down, trying to keep a low profile. Twitch nudged me and pointed to a ship in the distance. It looked like it was flying toward us, but then it turned and started its decline past where I guessed the villages we'd come through were.
If we came all this way for nothing, I'll sure feel like an idiot,
Twitch said. Not something to worry about, I replied. Worst case scenario, we wait them out. First sign of movement, we head in for the kill and save this guy. He'll get us to the other side, where we'll save Charm.
You have it all figured out, don't you?
She sat on the edge, looking out at the hills and rocks, and I joined her. Gale was still going at it, oblivious to our decision to take a break.
What then?
Twitch asked.
I mean, after we save her, maybe this planet, after it's all on track and you're at the Citadel, what will you do with us then?
Do with you? I asked, and a few images came to mind. I imagine, as an elder, I'll have a very large room with an even larger bed. You can take it from there. She laughed and hit me.
You know what I mean.
Rubbing my shoulder, I said, not exactly, no.
Will you still want us?
I turned to her, caught off guard by that very un-Twitch thing to say. In my mind, she was always the confident, composed one. Twitch, of course. I'm frankly surprised you're all still okay with this. I mean, sharing me?
That?
She laughed.
Maybe anyone else, or with a different group of women. But I don't know, it just all seems to fit. As far as I'm concerned, if we find more women that are right for the team, bring them on. For me, it's all about doing what I can to make up for my past, and being part of the team. This thing between us, I love it. And I don't see how Charm or Gale puts any sort of negative spin on it.
My gaze found hers, and I nodded, not knowing what to say.
Hell. If anything, I think one woman would have a hard time keeping up with your libido.
Yeah?
It must be the genes, that super powerful super in you.
She put a hand on my leg, smiling.
I've never met someone able to bring it like you do. Most guys' dicks would be raw by now. But you just keep on bringing it.
I had the grace to blush as I looked away. Yeah, well, my brother said to me, if you ever meet a woman you care about, you bring it like it's never been brought before. And I guess that stuck with me over the years. I appreciate you all and want to show it. When we're not kicking the enemy in the face, pleasing you in the bedroom is the way I know how.
Well, keep it up, soldier.
She gave my leg a squeeze, then a playful caress, before standing and getting back to work. I had just stood to join her when Gale let out a gasp. She looked up with excitement in her eyes and said,
I have an idea.
Well, I asked, out with it.
Here, the wind I call upon acts in an opposite way, right? Kind of pulling toward me, no matter what. Well, what if that could be used here?
Like finding the wind blowing from the outside, only opposite. Twitch cocked her head, eyes not showing much confidence in the idea, but said,
Better than what we're doing now.
Gale tried, but nothing happened. She started moving along the structure, trying to pull at different points. I'd almost given up when she yelped, covered her mouth, and pointed. It was at a point where the blocks on each side were symmetrical, and now that we were paying attention, had the look of an entryway. Twitch and I joined her there, assessing the gold circuitry in the green stone, seeing if we could find a way in. What made sense here? I asked myself. The others who would come here wouldn't go about some elaborate scheme every time they wanted to enter, but they might have someone on the inside who would let them in. That, or some sort of sensing mechanism. Wait a minute, I said, noticing that there was a section of the stone to my left where the gold patterns didn't cover a specific area of about 2 square feet in each direction. Looking around, I noticed it was a pattern that was elsewhere, too. But here it was on the inner side of the stone. There also seemed to be even less here than 2 blocks over. This gave me an idea. So I told them to stay where they were while I made my way down, grabbed some dirt that I had to chip out of the hard ground with my blade, then made my way back up. Once there, I crumbled it and blew it across the position on the jade. As I'd expected, the outline of a hand showed up.
How does that help us?
Gale asked.
We don't have that hand.
Don't we? I asked, and then used the illusion power as I held up my hand, doing my best to mimic the pattern of the imprint revealed in the light layer of dust that stayed behind. 2 clicks, and the stones moved apart, creating an opening large enough for several people to walk in together.
You never cease to amaze me,
Twitch said, grinning. Call it a mix of intuition and experience from playing video games, I replied, following her in, with Gale following close behind.
Nerd,
she said, but smiled when I glanced back.
In a good way, of course. Sexy, strong, well-hung nerd.
I rolled my eyes, turning to focus on the passage ahead of us. The stone had lit up, making the way forward a green hallway. We kept on in this direction, hesitating a little at a couple of passages that broke off to the left and right, but only pausing when we heard voices coming from ahead. Then we ducked back into the previous passage to our left, where we waited until the voices had passed. Keep going? I asked. Twitch nodded.
Let's see where they came from.
We checked to ensure the passage was clear, then kept on moving as silently as we could down the main hall. You all have movies on your planet? I asked in a whisper.
They're more of a middle-class thing, not something many supers are part of,
Twitch said.
Why?
Just thinking, if this were a movie, we'd likely find laser beams cutting us in half, maybe some crazy AI kid come and threaten us, or zombies appear that would try to eat our brains.
What kind of stupid-ass movies are those?
Gale asked, shaking her head. Yours are better. She nodded.
Yeah, mostly attempts to understand what Earth life was really like. There's a very popular one on the fall of America in the early 22nd century, and there's this unicorn lady who...
Wait, what? I looked to Twitch to see if this was serious.
Yeah, farts rainbows,
Gale said.
Really funny.
I think your movies didn't quite capture our history accurately. Sorry to be the one to tell you. Twitch held up a hand and we stopped, all moving to the corner of the hall. She was leaning forward, risking a peek, and then turned back to us.
People,
she whispered, even quieter than before.
But they're sleeping, maybe.
Or? I asked.
Or dead.
I'd never really liked the idea of finding dead people. Whenever I'd gone swimming in lakes, I had always imagined some dead person's hand brushing against my leg, or stepping on a face and feeling its rotten eyes with my toes. Now I'd been thinking about movies, and a room full of dead people in a large pyramid gave me all sorts of thoughts, most of them going back to that idea of zombies.
No better way to find out than by simply finding out,
Gale said, and she carelessly strolled forward and turned the corner. Nothing happened, so we followed. It quickly became clear that the men and women in the room weren't exactly dead, but still, they were barely alive. All of them were in some state of shock, staring off at the walls or ceiling with looks of confusion and horror.
They were drained,
Twitch said. Like, of their life force? I asked. Bits of insanity style? She glanced back with confusion, but then said,
No, like their powers were drained.
Oh. Shit. I watched my step, moving along the passageway and looking at them, then looking at the gold along the walls. It seemed to be glowing brighter here, especially around them, and pulsing up and away.
This temple... It's like it feeds on them.
Twitch gulped, and I could see by the look in her eyes. I was right.
Let's all get out of here,
Gale said.
Leave it all behind for that beach I mentioned. You know, the cocktails and blowjobs.
I was definitely feeling her on that. Both sounded 1,000 times better than getting my powers zapped out of me and being left as a near lifeless husk like these poor bastards.
All right, my babies,
a man's voice said, coming from around the corner and causing me to jump.
Let's see if any of you have any powers left.
I didn't know what to do. My legs wouldn't move to run, and my mind wouldn't even process that there were options, let alone what they were. In that instant, I thought for sure this was my end, trapped here in this strange pyramid to end my days as a vegetable. Smoke blew out around us, and only when it started to clear did I realize that it had been some subconscious utilization of my illusion powers. I wish my subconscious had thought to keep it long enough for us to run out of there, but it was already clearing. When the smoke was gone, we saw a man standing in front of us. He was tall, with wild gray hair flowing out from his head, his eyes intense. It was him. I was sure of it. Wendelor? I took a step toward him, reaching out a hand as I pushed my fears aside. We've come to save you. His frown deepened. Then he laughed and thrust out his hand, as if to accept mine. Instead, a pulse flowed out, and when it came back to him, our weapons shot out from our hands and at our sides, falling with a clatter at his feet. Next, he thrust his other hand forward, and before we could react, another pulse hit, and I felt the room spinning, saw the ceiling, and then the floor, and then darkness. Chapter 9. Although I was unconscious for most of it, I was dipping in and out, only vaguely aware of people fastening us to a wall. I struggled to process what was happening, losing consciousness and trying to fight, but unable. I finally came to. We were alone. A ticking noise coming from behind a slightly ajar door on the other side of a control panel of sorts. The circuitry in the walls was glowing and buzzing. Gale stood, strapped in on my left, Twitch to my right, both now starting to wake. Gale's first reaction was to try and use her powers, but Wendelor appeared through the open door, waving a hand that instantly stopped her power. I shared a look with Twitch, begging her with my gaze, hoping she'd unleash hell. She shook her head slightly, still unwilling to try something she didn't understand. When neither of us tried anything else, Wendelor said,
"Good,"
and started pacing in front of us. He stopped before me and grinned.
"You seem to have the strangest powers of all."
A screen hovered next to him, black. No letters or numbers appeared, but he seemed to be reading it.
"It's almost as if you have no powers at all. But at the same time, it shows you as being more powerful than any super we've ever drained."
"You're behind the draining,"
Twitch said, voice groggy but full of malice.
"You?"
"Only here,"
Wendelor said.
"I take what I can get to better serve the masters."
"Did I miss something?" I asked.
"Your little friend here,"
Wendelor said, walking over to Twitch and running a long nailed finger along her brow,
"knows all about it. She was there, fighting them, trying to stop it from happening."
"Stop what from happening? Twitch?" I struggled, but the bonds wouldn't give. Twitch glared at the man as she spoke.
"The rumor was that the Nihilists had set up some sort of machines that they could use to take powers from supers to transfer to the mundane. Those who had no powers of their own, but who could be of use to them in one way or another. Once Ranger takes over, which may well happen if we die here today, he'll use this to redistribute power as he sees fit, doling it out to his cronies."
Wendelor laughed.
"It's so much larger than him, but yes, that's the gist."
"And now you're going to zap us of our powers?" I said, trying to grasp the severity of our situation, looking around at the people around us. "Just like you did to these supers?"
Not so super anymore, though, are they?
He said with a grin, and then stepped over to Gale, licking his lips as he looked at her. His eyes glanced at his screen, and he looked less impressed.
They were ones we've found along the way. Some were on the planet from before, trying to help in the battle that brought them here. Others, nihilists brought. Some of their powers have been useful, others less so. Your powers I already have. But that's fine. We'll find some minion to give them to.
Let's try them out, the ones you have against mine,
Gale said, tensing in her restraints. He laughed, turning away from her and moving to a machine on the far side of the room. It looked like a control panel, except that it only had a spot for a hand to be placed, nothing more.
I have the powers of at least 100 supers at this point,
he said, caressing the machine, glaring up at us from it.
Adding a couple more really won't make a difference to me, but it'll make all the difference to you.
Do it then, I said, glaring. Get it over with. He shrugged.
As much as I'd like to, I answer to a higher power. But?
His eyes flickered to the screen.
Ah, yes. Here they are now.
A portal opened up next to him, a small one with purple light, and out stepped the man with the purple trim, the one we'd fought to get the ship they'd taken here.
Lord Tarupus,
Wendelor said, bowing slightly. Not enough to show real respect, I noted. Tarupus had a new suit, one without the tear from the knife he'd received in our last encounter. The corner of his lip curled up at the sight of me there, but it wasn't a smile.
Tell me, Wendelor,
Tarupus said, standing there with his hands behind his back, grinning at each of us with a malicious stare.
Who exactly do we have here?
Your worst nightmare, I growled. Both of them stared at me for a moment, then burst into laughter.
At least he's got a sense of humor,
Tarupus said.
My worst nightmare, son, is my mother-in-law tracking us down and coming to live with me. You're hardly her.
Mine would be dogs,
Wendelor said.
Dogs?
Tarupus asked. And at least they weren't mocking me anymore. I didn't even want to see the expressions on the faces of Twitch and Gale.
Well, you know, they bark real loud,
Wendelor explained.
It's terrifying. I met one once when one of Ranger's scouting parties brought one from Earth. Horrific creatures.
Dogs love me, I said, not really sure where to go with this anymore. Except I suddenly had an idea. Not the best, but it was all I had. In fact, I brought a bunch with me.
What?
Wendelor turned to me, confused. His eyes darted left, then right.
Bullshit!
Dog shit's worse, I said, and then used my illusion power to create a dog. First came the sound of its barking, then more barking as other dogs came into my mind. Wendelor blinked, laughed, and then waved his hand, but it had been enough of a distraction. Twitch had used the moment when Tarupus had turned to look at him in disgust to pull up her screens, apparently able even when restrained. Instead of working on her screen, though, she simply made adjustments to his. Twitch seemed to be adding random code that wouldn't make sense to his coding screen, but would cause his code to break. At least that's what I assumed she was doing, which she later confirmed. The result was that the wave of his power to dismiss mine didn't do a damn thing. He didn't know that yet, though. And when the dogs kept coming, he mouthed,
"Oh, shit,"
and took off running. This could be fun, I realized, and before Tarupus had a chance to turn back to us, I imagined us free from the wall, running for the opposite door. He teleported over, ready to give chase, and that's when I gave the restraints all I had. They were strong, but I had been leveling up lately and had some strength of my own. With a mighty heave and using my legs to push against the wall, I pulled free.
I didn't break the restraints, but managed to yank a whole section away from the wall. It was still attached when I caught up with Tarupas, so that when I smashed it over his head, the stone broke apart and he crumbled to the ground. Now my hands were separated at least, each connected to large slabs of stone. I could use that. At this point, Wendlore had turned back toward me, and my dogs came around the corner, covering my back.
"How? How are you doing this?"
he demanded in a bewildered voice.
"I saw your code. This isn't possible."
"What you saw was only part of the story," I said, as I moved in on him. He tried to do something with his black screen, but instead of whatever he'd intended, a flash went off and he went flying back, smacking into the wall behind him. I was there in a second, fist and stone raised, ready to strike.
"Release them," I shouted, "and get these off of me."
A roar came from deep in his throat as he lunged, hands out as if to choke me, but I slammed the stone into his arm and sent him howling to the ground in pain.
"Do it,"
I warned, but this time gave him proof that I meant business. I slammed the stone down and onto his foot, bones snapping as he let out a cry.
"The panel, there,"
he said, indicating a switch.
"But yours is broken. I don't know if it'll work."
When my fist and stone slammed into his foot again, he shouted and said,
I'll think of something.
"If the switch does anything other than what you said, you're in for a world of pain," I said, and hit the switch.
Sure enough, Gale and Twitch were both freed. As for me, I turned and slammed the stone into the metal wall over and over, and a moment later, I was free too. Then I turned on the man again, ready to beat him to a bloody pulp.
"Enough! Enough!"
Wendler shrieked, hands raised in defense.
"Ranger will kill me!"
"For what?" I asked.
"His powers."
Wendler stared at the ground, then at his hands, shaking.
"He comes when called to collect the new powers."
"Let me get this straight,"
Twitch said.
"You collect the powers here, store them somehow, and then transfer them to Ranger?"
Wendlore's eyes looked distant when he nodded.
"It wasn't always like this, you know. He had one power. One simple power. Not so different from my own."
When he looked at Twitch, he added,
"Ours, I should say. You, me, and him. The only three I know of with such abilities."
"How? How do you bring them over?"
"Not me. Us. We were always together, Ranger and I, back when he earned his name. He was a scout, you see. The two of us using our powers to adjust stars that were threatening to go out and affect their planetary systems, using our powers for all sorts of benefits to the Citadel and her fringe colonies."
His hands finally stopped shaking, and he seemed fascinated with this fact, turning them over and staring at his fingers, but then he explained why.
"These hands. My hands right here. They were the first part of it. Playing with a code to stop a solar flare when he thought he was supposed to, he entered a similar code. Only his was meant to banish it while mine was to subdue. And they interacted in a way that collapsed space upon itself, bringing the worlds together. Only, it wasn't the first time this had happened, we found out."
"You opened the rift between their world and ours?"
Twitch said in awe.
"I tried to close it,"
he said in his defense.
"But they knew our language. They said they were once like us, supers who had crossed over, who had learned much about the universe and could share this knowledge, give us great power. And Ranger stopped me. He accepted their offer. What choice did I have?"
We all stared at him for a long moment. And finally, I said, "You had a very big choice. A very obvious one. You could have stood up to him, fought back."
"You don't know Ranger like I do,"
Wendlore said, shaking his head, the shaking returning to his hands.
"You don't know."
"What happened next?"
Gale asked, looking fascinated by the tale.
"Next, by Aurum? No. It's too horrible."
She knelt down beside him.
"But I've heard this part. I've heard a rumor, one of many, but maybe you can fill in the blanks. A rumor about a strange force coming for the Tier 1 supers. A darkness they couldn't explain. No,
Twitch said, looking at me, but I hadn't quite caught on yet.
It's true,
Wendelor said.
The first supers they went after were Apollo and his ilk. But they weren't able to take his power. They tried, but he proved too powerful. So they locked him away. The others, though, so many others. Ranger wasn't given the top-tier powers. Those were taken by the lead nihilists. But he was given some strong ones, for sure. Given leadership over the supers, allowed to govern as long as he answered to the nihilists, but always remembering who his masters were.
Wendelor turned to me, eyes pleading.
I don't want to be part of this. I never did. Save me. Save me.
You're beyond saving,
Gale said, with a look of disgust as she stood.
Maybe. Maybe.
The old man stared off into the distance, then looked at Twitch.
Our powers weren't so different, you see. But they corrupted mine so that I could only do their bidding. They put a shroud on it all, somehow changing the coding of this dimension.
Fix it,
she said.
Don't you think I would have if I knew how?
He said, pleading for her to believe him.
I tried so many times, but all it did was make it worse. Each time, it was like a bit of my soul was ripped from me.
She stared, a darkness coming over her. She knew exactly what he was talking about.
There is no solution,
he said, hanging his head.
We're doomed.
But I wasn't so sure. I pulled up my skill tree screen again, looking at all my skill points, and then scrolling to the Twitch screen with the troubleshooting skill highlighted. There was no doubt about it. This was our solution. Lamb or some force had sensed it the moment we entered this dimension. I have the answer, I told them, and then quickly explained. When I was done, Twitch was beaming, and Wendelor had a new look in his eyes. Hope. There's only one problem. Levels. I need a few more levels. What do we do? Go back and fight the enemy some more?
Leading them straight to us?
Twitch said.
No, I don't think so. But we do need you to level up, and fast. It might be our only option.
I might have a solution to this,
Wendelor said, sitting up a little straighter.
Are you familiar with the ways of Rome? The old ways, I mean.
What part? I asked.
Gladiators, the Colosseum, all of that.
His eyes sparkled, and a hint of a smile showed as he said,
We have something similar here. You can join the arena. Prove yourself against others who are volunteering to fight you, and get the levels you need.
You want me to be a gladiator?
No,
he said, and now the smile came.
You want you to be a gladiator. I just want to be there to watch.
I turned to Twitch and Gale, unsure.
It does solve the problem of getting the levels without letting the enemy in on our plan,
Twitch said.
And it's kinda hot,
Gale chimed in. I laughed, shaking my head. I couldn't believe I was about to do this. With a nod and putting my hands on my hips in true superhero fashion, I said, Fine, I'm in. Chapter 10 While we'd come up with a plan for how to level me up and open the rift to the location where they had a charm, we still didn't have a way out of this pyramid, and Wendelor's face had just gone pale.
What is it?
Gale asked.
Ranger,
Wendelor answered.
He's supposed to make a stopover soon. I'm thinking it was today.
Our chance to take him down, then, I said, relieved. Honestly, if we'd known who he was back on the prison ship, I would have loved to end it right there once and for all.
We knew, just not the full picture.
Twitch pointed out.
And if you'd tried, we'd all be dead right now. You did hear everything we were just talking about. You know, him having all those powers and whatnot.
I especially heard the part where my real dad was involved, meaning we should kill this guy, go see if this supposed dad of mine is someone worth meeting, and get it over with.
You want to rescue your dad?
Wendelor scoffed.
It's one thing to say there might be a way of shutting all this down, but the chances of going after your dad and succeeding are about as high as my chances of... Well, I don't know, but they're low.
Because he's in the Nihilist world? He nodded.
As far as we know, nobody's ever gone there on their own and come back to tell about it.
Nobody yet.
If we could find a way...
Twitch chimed in.
That would be huge for the superheroes.
I'm telling you, it's not possible,
Wendelor said.
If it were, you think the thing about the prophecy would even matter?
What prophecy? I asked. The one that involves my brother and the whole baby deal?
Or you. As in, it could go either way, you or him. But yeah, the whole reason it was specified as 17 years was the amount of time it would take to travel based on best estimates. But when we get there, we get there. The portal super is already on his way, so the longer the baby takes, all that stuff means we might be more or less ready. If there are complications, it could all change. But for all we know, the closest dimensions we could access without getting a ranger involved again would still be one level away from their actual location. What we're calling dimensions is actually just space folded on itself, and how many layers of folds does it take to get there, and what are the chances of finding the same spot that we did?
But we don't really need all that, I said, ignoring his tone of hopelessness. All we need is to follow them back, to find some way—
That's assuming they can go back, too,
he interrupted.
As far as I know, they aren't. They've been conquering spots in the in-between, forming new colonies and enslaving the people there, if there are any.
Wait, but if you're saying they might not be able to go back either without taking 17 years or so to do it, isn't it entirely possible that my dad is much closer than we realize? Wendelor considered this, then nodded slowly.
Actually, so much of this is speculation. That makes sense. The only thing we really know is that he's gone. Everyone assumed he was taken back, but that might all be wrong.
So, we have a chance, I said, beaming.
Breaker,
Twitch said, and she had a hand on one of my arms, Gale taking the other.
As much as we'd like to find your dad, it sounds like a wild goose chase.
We can't just leave him out there, I protested. I'm his flesh and blood. Shit, even my adoptive dad tried to break me out when I got the death sentence back on Earth. You—
Wait, what?
Wendelor asked, Twitch leaning forward expectantly. Yeah, when I came here, there was this whole thing with him attacking the prison transport, a crash, and then I was taken here— Right at the last minute. Well, to the prison ship, anyway.
That wasn't your dad,
Wendelor said. I know, I said my adoptive dad. I frowned, looked from him to Twitch, who seemed to be hiding something. What is it?
Your codes showed me things like this, too,
Twitch said.
It showed your recent history and... Sorry, I thought you knew. A group of supervillains had recently come very close to capturing you.
Wendelor nodded, confirming that.
I wasn't part of the mission, but I was aware of it. Some of our best were sent for you, to intercept the prison transport and bring you to the side of the supervillains. Either to castrate you, or try to make a baby for our side, I wasn't sure exactly what the plan was.
Zhen got to you first,
Twitch said, smiling.
Luckily for everyone involved.
Castrate?
Gale said, shaking her head.
That would have been a crime against humanity.
I laughed nervously. Thanks, Gale. And yeah, I'm at the top of the list for being glad that didn't happen. But sorry, this is a bit much to process. Okay, so supervillains tried to take me. Zhen interfered before they could. Meanwhile, we have no idea where my real father is, but what about Charm?
The girl they took.
He smiled, finally.
You can get to her if we move fast, I think. I'm honestly not sure how fast they can travel.
And how do we follow them?
Twitch asked.
It all comes back to the plan, what we were talking about before.
We have to fix the code, get you through the door.
I agreed, but before I'd had a chance to speak, I saw that Tarupas was regaining consciousness, which reminded me of the other incoming enemies he'd spoken of. We have to get to it then, I said. We save Charm, we figure out the rest later. But I'm not going to abandon my dad, even if he did abandon me. Twitch shot me a sympathetic look, but then turned to Wendlore and said,
Get us out of here.
He nibbled at the corner of his pinky nail, then glanced over at Tarupas.
Please, I know I gave you no reason, but trust me.
Trust you? I said. When it came to listening to his explanations, I was all ears. But did this guy expect us to put our lives in his hands? He'd had us locked up only minutes ago.
I know. It's a lot to ask. But I know what happened was wrong. And I want to make amends, somehow. I can start by helping you.
Gale looked as skeptical as I felt, but Twitch seemed to be considering it.
Go ahead,
she said, motioning for him to do whatever it was he had in mind. Before Gale or I could protest, she held up a hand and said,
He's good for it.
Neither of us could be sure how she knew this or why she was taking the leap of faith, but she pulled up her screen, and his appeared, and it seemed she was removing the effects of what she'd done to his code. Twitch, I nudged her. Are you sure about this?
I have a reason to believe he has a vested interest here,
she replied, and then clicked the screen to make it vanish. Turning to him with a smile, she said,
What's the plan?
He hesitated, then put a hand on the slowly awakening form of Tarupas, pulling up his screen with the other.
Smart. Also smart that you didn't kill this one.
With two quick motions and tapping on his screen, he stood and backed away, then waited.
What are we doing?
Gale asked.
Grab him,
he replied.
Think of a place not too far.
I was thinking I'd rather break Tarupas's skull open, when he opened his eyes, popped up, and said,
Kill them now!
He initiated a portal, only as soon as he did, the portal expanded to cover the whole room. I lunged, grabbing him, and focused on the first location that came to mind. Before he could get off a, What the fuck? We were all sucked into the portal. A moment later, we were standing in one of the warlord huts that we had seen earlier, on the outskirts of the pyramid compound. We had been here before, I realized, recognizing the crack in the corner wall. It was the house the warlord had taken us to, where we had gone through the tunnel. Coughing sounded, and I realized that Tarupas was next to us, scrambling for the door.
Now you can break his skull open,
Wendlore said, motioning for me to go after him.
Be quick about it. Wait,
Tarupas said, backing away, cursing.
You can't blame me.
I hesitated, and at that moment, he ran.
Damn it! He'll alert everyone within miles,
Wendlore said, and Gale went to the doorway, thrusting out her hands. But it was no good. She shook her head. He'd gotten away. I don't want to kill needlessly, I said.
Maybe you weren't listening to the point about Ranger coming,
Wendlore said, his whiskers shaking in rage.
Or is it that you're too dense to realize that, the moment he lands, that piece of Trondol shit will tell him exactly where we are if we're still around?
Then we'd better make sure we're not, I countered, feeling like a complete fool.
What the hell is going on back here?
A booming voice shouted. Shuffling of feet sounded, and then the warlord himself appeared, bread in his hands. He took one look at us, but then his eyes settled on Wendlore. For a long moment, they stared. Then the warlord stepped forward and hugged him in a deep embrace.
You've returned,
the warlord said.
I'm sorry, Renout,
Wendlore quavered.
It wasn't me. It wasn't. I'm so sorry.
They pulled apart and were beaming at each other. Finally, Renout turned to us and thanked us each individually, stopping at Twitch last. He bowed, took her hands, and kissed them. And then I finally understood what they'd been talking about in the tunnel when he'd let us out of here the first time.
Do you have a ship?
Wendlore asked us.
What am I saying? Of course you do. But where?
No worries,
Renout said, beaming.
We have one we can use. It's old, but it flies.
Gale? I asked, turning to her.
If it has wings, count on me,
she said, We followed Renout again, him leading the way as he helped Wendlor walk, and motioned us on as to go unnoticed. He and Wendlor took turns explaining that they'd been best friends before Ranger came along and started pulling Wendlor away. Renout had tracked his old friend here long after learning about Ranger's true nature, figuring the man must have somehow corrupted his old friend's mind and had been in contact with the Citadel before it fell, trying to work out a way to save Wendlor.
"In a sense, I owe you my life and all the gratitude that comes with that,"
Wendlor said, clapping his old friend on the shoulder.
"All of you."
I moved ahead to Twitch and Gale's side, letting the two of them catch up on what they'd missed from each other's lives. We found the ship and made it out of there without any more hassle. And Gale was actually enjoying this one more than the previous, especially since it was better stocked with food and water. Everyone found their places, and soon the villages and rocks and pyramids were lost from view. When Ranger arrived, he'd have a hard time tracking us down, I imagined. I leaned over to Twitch sitting beside me on the ship and lowered my voice so the others wouldn't hear. "How did you know you could trust him? Before, I mean." She glanced back at him, talking excitedly with his old friend, Renout.
"The way the warlord spoke of him, asking me to give the man a chance if I saw a window. It was a gamble, but it paid off, and I think we'll see the rewards."
"And if he'd killed us, stolen our powers, and left us for dead?"
"Good thing he didn't."
She turned and lay her head back, closing her eyes. That was all she had to say? Good thing he didn't? I wanted to shout at her, to tell her that gambling with our lives like that was not okay, that she needed to be less reckless in the future. Then again, it had worked out. She'd been right. Maybe there was something to her gut judgment that I needed to learn to rely on more. Regardless, I agreed with the need for sleep and closed my eyes as well. Little cat naps would have to do for this journey. I woke when I had to take a piss, finding everyone asleep but Gale. She smiled and nodded, and I walked softly past the sleeping man who had until recently been our enemy, thinking how peaceful he looked there with his old friend, reunited. So odd that it would be under these circumstances. When I returned, Gale set the ship on autopilot, as per Wendlor's instructions regarding the coordinates, and sat on the armrest of my chair, just as I was about to close my eyes again.
"No matter what they say, we'll find your dad,"
she said, placing a hand on my shoulder.
"I promise."
"Don't make promises you can't keep," I said. She grinned.
"Breaker, until very recently, I was in the most secure prison imaginable, or so everyone said. But guess what? The day they threw me in there, I made a promise to myself. As ridiculous as it sounded, as impossible as everyone said it was, I promised myself that I would be off that ship within the year. Lo and behold."
She held her arms out to emphasize the point that here she was, not on the prison ship. From where she was sitting, it also put her chest directly in my face, and I had to laugh. "Yes, but you're free in part because of me," I pointed out.
"Just like we'll find him in part because of me,"
she countered, and pinched my cheek.
"You'll see."
With that, she stood, stretched, and said,
"Rest. You're going to need it, I imagine."
"And you?" She shrugged.
"A perk of my powers. I can create a bit of a storm externally, but I've also always been able to create one internally. It's like an intense energy drink that keeps me going. Will I crash? Hell fucking yes. But by then, we'll have hopefully won."
"Yes, hopefully," I said sleepily. "Just wake me up when you need, should I?" I was out before she had a chance to respond, though knowing her, she'd have told me again that she wouldn't need the rest. As super as I was, I sure as hell needed my beauty and kick-ass sleep if I was going to succeed in the arena. Chapter 11. I couldn't believe I was doing this. The barbaric nature of ancient Rome and other civilizations that had worshipped the arena, to say nothing of my world and their fascination with the horror show that was Planet Kill, had always struck me as disgusting. Now I was about to walk into an arena and do my best to tear my opponent a new asshole. Meanwhile, he or she would be doing the same to me. If I wasn't